Okay, so if you have a Bible, grab it. We're going to be in two passages, Isaiah chapter 9, John chapter 1. So you can go there with me now, Isaiah chapter 9 and John chapter 1. I don't know about you, but I have this love-hate relationship with Christmas lights. Okay, I love looking at them. I hate hanging them. In fact, I'm convinced that if you want to know how sinful you truly are, you just need to spend a day hanging Christmas lights. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? The only reason I do it is because I have a wife who loves it, and I love my wife. But if it were up to me, there'd be no lights. Like, I don't even like hanging lights on our Christmas tree. But again, I do love looking at them. And so this is one of our family traditions. Every Christmas, we pile everybody up in the minivan, and we'll turn on some Christmas music, and we'll just drive around to different neighborhoods, and we'll look at lights. And so for our family, Christmas, it's hard to imagine it without lights. But that's also true in a spiritual sense. You see, when you read the Christmas story, the actual Christmas story, the one about Jesus, you discover very quickly that it is a story about light. That God, in grace and kindness, sent a great light into the world, his son Jesus, to rescue people like you and me out of darkness. And he's now left us here to be lights, to continue the work of dispelling the darkness that Christ has overcome. And so, in essence, when you think about it, Christmas really isn't Christmas without lights. And I want to show it to you in the scriptures, okay? If you're in Isaiah 9, that's where we're going to start. But before we read the text, I want to give you just a little bit of context. At the time of Isaiah's prophecy, the nation of Israel, they were in a very dark season. This kingdom that God had established for about 200 years had been split into two kingdoms, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And both kingdoms at this time were suffering greatly, partly due to their own sin. Okay, I hope you do know that you can make really bad, sinful decisions that make your life way harder than it needs to be. It's a different sermon for a different day, but I just thought I'd point that out in case somebody needed to hear it. Number two, they were suffering due to bad leadership. And then number three, they were suffering due to the opposition of a very powerful nation called Assyria. Okay, at this time in world history, Assyria was the superpower. They were a terrifying people, famous for psychological warfare. And so when they wanted to conquer a city, they would actually start by conquering a weaker city. And then they would use the inhabitants of that weaker city as examples for the next. They would skin people alive. They would gouge out eyes, parade around mutilated bodies and body parts, all to say to the next city, if you don't willingly surrender to us, this is what awaits you. Well, Assyria had started conquering all the nations surrounding Israel and Judah, and they were now headed toward Israel and Judah. And it was in the midst of this very dark season that God made a promise to send a light. Here's what he says in Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he's made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And so in this text, God does two things. Number one, he starts by telling his people where the light would appear. It would appear in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay, these lands are in the northern part of Israel. They make up a region called Galilee. And what's interesting is that when the Assyrians eventually invaded Israel in the year 722 BC, these are the lands by which they entered. These are the lands they devastated first. And so here's God saying the light's gonna appear there. And the people who have walked in deep darkness, on them this great light will shine. And then you keep reading Isaiah 9, and God goes on to explain how the light would appear. Okay, he tells us that the light would come in the form of a child, that this light would be given as a son, the very Son of God, mind you. This light would possess authority, and its authority would increase over time. It would have no end. This light would be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, and this light would ultimately rule over its people with justice and righteousness forevermore. And so for centuries, God's people clung to this promise. Because the darkness didn't stop with Assyria. After Assyrians came the Babylonians. After the Babylonians, it was the Persians. Then it was the Greeks. And then it was the Romans. And so there was a lot of darkness in Israel's history. And so these people were constantly looking for and constantly longing for this great light God would send. And then God sent him, and they missed him. I want you to see this. If you're holding your place in John 1, just flip over. The Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John. He was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. And he writes, starting in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Different John, by the way, okay? He's talking here about John the Baptizer, and so these are not the same Johns. And he goes on and he tells us that John the Baptizer came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And here it is. Check this out. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. And so let's process this if we can, because I want to put it all together, okay? God makes a promise in a very dark season to his people to send a light. And then 700 years of darkness go by. His people are suffering under the hands of wicked nation after wicked nation after wicked nation. And then finally this great light arrives exactly how God said it would. It comes in the form of a child. The light was given as a son, which is what we celebrate at Christmas, that God in grace has sent his own son Jesus into the world for us. And then eventually God sent a messenger to make the announcement, John the Baptist. The light's here. Just want all you people to know the light's here. I'm not the light, so don't be confusing me with the light. I'm just here to bear witness about the light so that you can believe in the light. I just want you to know he's in the world right now. And then the light finally appeared exactly where God said it would. This is what we see in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus launched his public ministry, guess where he did it? In the region of Galilee, in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. He moved there, he settled there, he began teaching, traveling all throughout the region, putting his authority on display, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, performing miracles. Everywhere Jesus went, he was lighting up the darkness. But the ultimate display of his authority came by his own resurrection. See, after living a perfect life, a life none of us have lived, one of sinless obedience before God, this great light hung on a tree, willingly laid his life down for people like us, dying in our place for our sins, all to deliver us out of darkness and back into a right relationship with God. But praise God, Jesus didn't stay dead, amen? That's what we celebrate at Easter. That 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave and he conquered sin, death, and hell for all who would believe in him. Yet, the world missed him. This great light came into the world he made and people he created didn't even recognize it was him. It came to people who had longed for him and looked for him for hundreds of years, and instead of receiving him, they rejected him, which raises the question in my mind, how does that happen? Because in my humble opinion, God made it pretty obvious. Hey, this is the light. And so how did these people miss him? Well, the answer is simple, for the same reason people still miss him today. Jesus goes on to say in John 3:19, listen to this, that even though the light was in the world, that men love the darkness more than they love the light because their works are evil. So I want to tell you something about yourself in case you don't know this. Okay, it's true of everybody in the room, everybody in every room that's gathered. You and I, we all as sinful people have this natural bent toward darkness. Darkness in the scriptures is often used as a metaphor for evil, for wickedness, for ungodliness. There's a part of all of us that just bends that way, which is why at times we just all want to do what we want to do. Don't want to submit to God. We want to be God over our own lives. We don't want God calling the shots. We want to call the shots. And again, this should come as no surprise to you because we not only see it in ourselves, we see it around us in the world on an everyday basis, don't we? We see people constantly loving the darkness more than they love the light. What's so fascinating to me is that we all love the idea of the light. Every single one of us love the idea of what the light brings. Things like joy, peace, hope, purpose, righteousness, justice. We all love that stuff. The problem is there are many people in the world that don't love the light itself. Like, we all want what Jesus offers, but some people just don't want Jesus, which is why the world remains in darkness today. One of the things I love so much about our Christmas gatherings is knowing that we have many different types of people in the room. Some of you are here because you're always here. We just can't get rid of you. And I love that. Like, this is your church. And so every time the doors are open, you're here. And I'm so glad that you're here. And then others of you are here because somebody made you be here. It's like, look, it's Christmas. Dang it. We're all going to church. You just got to get over it. Okay. Whether you like it or not. And just pray the experience isn't too painful for you. We're glad that you're here. And then others of you are here because you're curious. You know, you don't really buy into all this Jesus stuff just yet, but somebody extended the invite and you're like, okay, I don't have anything better to do. Friday night, I'll go. I'll just listen and learn and see what this guy has to say. And so all that to point out, I am aware that there are many different opinions in this room on many different things, different ways of thinking, different ways of seeing the world. But there's one thing I think we could all agree on, no matter who we are, Christian or not, and it's this. Our world is a dark place. We can agree on that, right? Every single one of us, no matter who we are. I mean, how else do you describe what you see in the world each and every day? Things like pride, greed, violence, murder, war, racism, poverty, injustice, death, disease. All these things are clear indicators of darkness. Now, scientifically speaking, we know that darkness isn't even really a thing. It's just the absence of a thing called light. And so please catch this. The only reason darkness is present with us today is because people have rejected the light. It's so important for you to get this. Because God often takes the blame for the present condition of our world, and it's unfair to God. Y'all heard people talking like this, right? Some of us have probably talked like this. Oh my gosh, if God is so good and loving and kind, why is the world so jacked up? It's not his fault. He didn't do it. He didn't create the world to function this way. No, we as people he created have hijacked creation. We've rebelled against a good God who designed life to work in a certain way so that we as people could flourish, and we've rejected him and we've rejected the light he sent. And when we reject the light, guess what we get? We get darkness. But praise God, despite what we've done, he's done for us what we could never do through Jesus. He sent someone to light up the darkness. He sent someone to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. And we know one day in the future, Jesus Christ will return and he will dispel the darkness of this world forevermore. This was believers. That's what we cling to, right? In addition, I would also say this. I believe this is why some of you remain in darkness today. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and make an assumption about some folks at all of our locations, okay? Some of you have shown up to church today feeling very hopeless, very empty, very broken, very lost, no joy, no peace, no purpose, no hope. And it's not because you don't want those things. No, the truth is you desperately want those things, which is why you are chasing everything the world has to offer you in hopes of finding them. And can I just ask, how's that going for you? Have you found what you're looking for yet? My money would be on the no answer. No, I haven't. Here's why. Because there's one person who can give you those things, and his name is Jesus. And the reason you don't have those things is because you've rejected him. The great light has come, and instead of adjusting to the light, you've adjusted the light. Therefore, you remain in darkness. Now, look, if that's you, can I give you some really good news? Here's the great news. Jesus is incredibly kind and patient with people who remain in darkness. I want to prove it to you. John chapter 8. We're going to look at one more text before we wrap up. John 8. If your Bibles are still open, you can just flip over a few pages. In John 8, we find Jesus at this Jewish celebration called the Feast of the Tabernacles. It happened every year in September, October, lasted about 8 days. And part of this celebration included a lamp lighting ceremony. Every night, they would light 4 large lamps in the temple's court of women. And people would grab torches, and they would sing, and they would dance, and they would remember and celebrate God's promise to send a great light. Well, it was during this celebration that Jesus spoke up and said this in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, I want you to imagine the scene with me. Here's Jesus at a party that's all about him, and nobody realizes it's about him. It'd be like your friends throwing you a birthday party and you're in the room and nobody recognizes that you're in the room. That'd be highly frustrating, kind of annoying, wouldn't it? Jesus is at a celebration. Everybody's singing, dancing, celebrating. I mean, dude, it's all about him. Nobody recognizes that he's there. And in his response, I believe we see his heart towards sinful people. This is beautiful. He doesn't start shouting people down. Doesn't start condemning and pointing fingers, calling people out, throwing wrath and judgment on folks. No, he just graciously and kindly makes the announcement. Hey, can I get everybody's attention for just a moment, please? So sorry to wreck the party. So sorry to call off the singing and the dancing, but I just wanted to make a quick announcement. I am light of the world. I'm him, the one that Isaiah said would come. I'm here. The torches, that's me. The lamps pointing to me. The scriptures that you're celebrating, all about me. Singing and the dancing and the celebrating. This is a party for me, and I know that you don't realize it's for me, and so I'm just here to tell you, it's about me. I'm the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I want you to know that remains Jesus's invitation to us today. And so there's only two things to do, one of two things to do, depending upon who you are. Number one, if you're a believer in Christ, be a light. Be a light. This is the call of Jesus on your life. Matthew 5:16, he says to us, you're the light of the world. John 8, I'm the light of the world. And then he says, but you are too. You are the light of the world, and it is your responsibility to let your light shine so brightly before men that they see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Practically, here's what that means, that you and I pattern our lives after the life of Jesus by the help and power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us so that our lives illuminate the darkness, so that our lives attract people to the great light that is Jesus, so that our lives proclaim and announce the life that is found in him and him alone. That's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light. You've been delivered out of darkness, so don't you dare blend back in with the darkness. Walk as children of light, lives of holiness, godliness, righteousness. Live that way so that the darkness continues to retreat. Believer in Christ, be a light. And then for those of you who would not believe, you've shown up today, you haven't believed, you haven't put your faith in Christ as your Savior and Lord, you've never received him in that way, here's your response. You receive the light. You receive the light. Going back to John 1 for just a moment, in verse 12, the Apostle John continues writing, and he says this, to all who did receive him, to all who did believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Okay, there's a word that we as Christians throw around quite often, the gospel. It simply means good news. This is the good news that we call the gospel. That when we as people were stuck in our sins, dead in our trespasses, unable to deliver ourselves out of darkness, that God in grace took the initiative. That he sent Jesus into the world to do what we couldn't do. And when you and I receive him, by believing in his name. Believing in his name, by the way, implies ownership. And so this is more than you just agreeing to a set of theological beliefs. This is you entrusting your entire life to Jesus in faith as your God, Savior, Lord, and King. When you do that, the God who created you delivers you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. But it gets better. He also adopts you into his own family, and he makes you a loved son and a loved daughter. And then you begin to experience all those things you love about the light. Joy is yours. Hope is yours. Peace is yours. Contentment is yours. Purpose. Purpose is yours. Okay, this is not me saying life's always gonna be easy for you. It's not. At times it's gonna be really difficult because remember, we live in a dark world and we all feel the effects of that. I'm just saying that even in the midst of difficulty, you can experience the great blessings of belonging to the light. It is a joy to be a child of the King. And ultimately, you can spend your entire life knowing with hope and certainty that there is coming a day for you in the future when you will be with Jesus in his kingdom and the darkness will be no more. So if you're someone who needs to come out of darkness today, and receive the great light that is Jesus. I want to help you do it right now. And so across all of our locations, if we can just bow. Just settle into this moment together. And the scriptures teach that the way we receive the light is by first admitting that we are in darkness. We have to start with what's true about us. We admit that we're sinners and that we can't deliver ourselves out of darkness on our own. And then we believe that Jesus is the great light that can. That only he can. We believe that what he did at the cross 2,000 years ago counts for us today. That he died our death for our sins to deliver us out of darkness and to restore us back to God. And then we confess that Jesus is Lord. That he is alive, that he has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that only he can give us new and eternal life. And then we hand the reins of our lives over to him. So if you're someone that needs to do that, I want to encourage you and invite you to do it right now in this moment, just in your own words and in faith. Just pray and start admitting. Just tell him, God, I admit I'm a sinner in darkness, and I can't save myself. Tell him you believe. I believe that Jesus can, that he came to deliver me, that what he did at the cross was for me. And confess, Jesus, you are Lord. And I want you to be Lord over my life. And so, Jesus, I'm handing the reins of my life over to you. And I want to follow you, believing that whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Listen, with your head still bowed and eyes still closed, I want to say, if you made that decision for the first time to put your faith in Jesus today, and welcome to the family of God. You just made the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. And we would love to celebrate it with you before you leave. And so I'm gonna ask you to take a bold step, not right now in this moment, but just before you go. At all of our locations, our prayer team is gonna be down front. And I would love it if you would just walk up to one of them before you leave and say, hey, I received the light today. I receive the light. They would love to pray with you, and we have a gift we want to give you, just some resources to help you get started in your new relationship with Jesus. And so please don't leave without doing that. At the very least, would you text us, especially for those of you watching online too. We'd love to know if you did this. Just text the phrase, I believe, to the number on the screen there, and one of our pastors will follow up. Well, I'm going to pray, and our band is going to come and lead us in a time of singing and response. God, thank you for the great light that is Jesus. Thank you for loving us enough to not leave us in darkness. Thank you for the great promise that when we follow Jesus, we don't walk in darkness, but we walk in light. And so God, as believers, help us to be lights in this dark world. Not to blend in, but to stand out. And God, I thank you for the men and women and boys and girls all weekend long that have put their faith in Jesus. Thank you for being a God who saves, a God who redeems. God, for those that are in the gathering right now, give them the courage they need to tell somebody about what you've done before they go. God, as we sing and respond, be honored and glorified in this place. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.